Hello again, you're listening to the News at One on Radio One. First, to the government's plans to improve the civil service, specifically to streamline the disciplinary procedures in order to make it easier to let go or indeed demote civil servants who've been deemed to be underperforming. In a moment, we'll be talking to the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Brendan Howland. First, let's just get a quick reaction to this plan from one of the trade unions involved. Let's hear from Tom Geraghty. He's Secretary General of the Public Service Executive Union.
Well, like all of these reports, it's something of a mixed bag. There are issues in it that we welcome very much, such as the ending of the moratorium and giving departments the right to decide their own staffing mix within a payroll budget. Some of the other provisions, such as the establishment of a civil service management board, can only help in the running of the civil service. But there are a number, or there is a number of issues that concern us. There is a proposal in it to have open public competitions for all posts at assistant principal and above, which we think would be a logistical nightmare, and also would perhaps act as a disincentive to staff, because excellence in doing your job would no longer be rewarded in such a process. So we would feel that something like that would require discussion between ourselves and the employer, as indeed would the references to the performance management system, which quite frankly are very short on detail and would require a considerable amount of discussion between ourselves and the employer.
Tom Geraghty, Secretary General of the PSEU. We're joined now from a Dáil studio by the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform, Brendan Howland. Minister, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Well, let's talk about these changes, but to establish the context of it, at the moment, how difficult is it to demote or get rid of somebody who's underperforming badly?
Well, it's not simply a plan that focuses on underperformance, quite the reverse. It celebrates the very high performance of the civil service in Ireland. I referenced in my speech this morning the comment of the Troika as they left, having, if you like, been close scrutinisers of the Irish civil service and all its doings for 3 years. They said they've never dealt with a more competent civil service across Europe. But what we're doing now is part of a comprehensive reform agenda to seeing how we do things and how can we do things better. There's a number of real issues we've identified. The fact that people work in silos, there's no unified civil service. We want to have more mobility across the civil service, more accountability, so we've designated jobs, people know what they're to do, and a transparent monitoring of that and evaluation of that, so that we can have consequences where there is issues of underperformance. And of course, to increase the professional level, because there's an awful lot of skills now that are required in a modern civil service, like human resource managers, procurement operatives and so on, economic evaluators that need to be specifically recruited to do a specific job.
To the best of your knowledge, has a civil servant ever been fired?
Yes, lots have been fired. Spoke to one, actually asked that question of one particular departmental administrator this morning. They said, yeah, in my time, the last few years, I've personally fired 8, she told me.
For what? How bad do you have to be fired?
But I mean, it's an extraordinary fixation on how bad you have to be fired. We've gone through the most incredible 3 years as a country. And we've been steered through that, as well as performing, for example, at the highest level in relation to the presidency of the European Union.
All right, I'm a minister. We know all that, but like, how incompetent do you have to be fired from the civil service? I mean, what is the firing offence in the civil service?
Well, as I said this morning, the first thing we have to do before you say who should be fired, and I think every organisation should look in the mirror about how, you know, they evaluate their own staff, and we have to do that too. We have to set the objectives for everybody in the civil service, because there's no point in saying you're underperforming if you haven't clearly defined what performance means. And how are we going to evaluate that? Are we going to do that fairly and robustly? So the first thing we've said we would do is put in clear job evaluation mechanisms and clear tasks to be achieved by everybody. Then we have to have a system of ensuring that you have the proper supports. If you're made, for example, as I've said, a procurement officer, if you know nothing about procurement, you have to have proper training and support. But if you have all those supports, if you have that job and you're not doing it, then obviously you can be fired and should be fired.
To many people outside who don't work in the civil service, have no knowledge of the civil service, to listen to that sort of description about the way things were done, one would wonder how any business was done at all. How could you run a system where people didn't know exactly what it is that they had to do and who didn't face some sort of sanction if they didn't meet that target?
Well, you know, people say that about every organisation, not least RTÉ itself.
I know that.
Overmanned and everything else. You know that. And you know how hardworking people are in reality and how unfair that level of criticism can be to people who are really working hard. But you
were the one who said it, Minister. It wasn't me. You were the ones who said that the first thing you had to do was to define the job and put in some sort of target within that job spec. The question was, how could you have been running a system up to now where that wasn't already done?
Well, it wasn't done sufficiently well. That's why we're reforming it. That's why we're going to do it better. That's why we've taken two streams of work, one under the stewardship of an independent panel on accountability and performance, working on a white paper that I published in January, looking at how we can have better accountability, better performance, and a second stream of work, engaging with the civil servants themselves across every nook and cranny of the civil service, asking them to evaluate their own performance in terms of their own work environment, how we can do things better. It's the bringing together of that enormous body of work that sets out 25 specific actions that I think will be transformative in the civil service.
How will you reward excellence?
Well, the Rafter group who looked at accountability and performance recommended against performance pay, and I think that for very good reason. The reason being that a lot of the tasks involved in the civil service are cross-cutting. They're not individualised tasks. So they involve teams of people across agencies and across government. So we need to reward those teams by publicly acknowledging them, bringing them to celebrations of excellence. And of course, they'll be better in line for promotion if they do perform to that excellence standard.
Well, will they? How will that actually be written down or be prop of a part or system? This is not just about employee of the month. How will that be reflected? How will that be reflected in their promotional chances?
Well, obviously everybody has a career record. If you are constantly recommended for being an excellent worker, that will stand you well when you apply for a promotion and look for job vacancies, and that will happen.
So will you put an end then to the business of giving increments to people just simply because they've served time, that they're there 4 years, 5 years or 6 years, and instead give the increment to the man or the woman on the basis of their excellence?
Well, as you know, there's been a lot of talk about that, and we've looked at it in very great detail. Increments are part of public servants' pay from Victorian times. If you are, for example, a nurse who is doing an excellent job but not promoted, do you think that after 15 years you should be paid the same as the day you started, or should that experience, that continued excellence, be rewarded in incremental progress? That's the way the public service has worked. Well, I think that a nurse who is 15 years, who has that skill set and experience and is still performing excellently, should progress up a scale. The same with Gardaí and so on, who don't necessarily need promotion. If you are a community guard doing an excellent job and you want to stay at that level and you continue to perform, there is and always has been an incremental grade to support that.
So even if you're only average, don't worry, you'll still get your increment.
Well, the increments, as you know, are a career path. They're fixed for a number of years, and if you continue to do your job excellently well, you will reach the top of your incremental scale. Most people, of course, have more ambition. They want to rise in promotion and will apply for higher skill jobs. But that's, you know, the nature of the structure that has served this country extremely well in An Garda Síochána, in the health service, in the civil service. We want to garner and protect the best, but we also want to make substantial changes by making it more, as you've rightly said in your introduction, more professional, more responsive to a changing environment, and more accountable, so people will know what's expected of them and be accountable for performing it.
The independent panel that you asked to have a look at the system, among the many recommendations that Kevin Rafter made was the establishment of a new full-time position of the head of the civil service and a salary mentioned there of $183,000 per year. Have you ruled that out now?
No, I haven't ruled it out, but we're not doing it now because I don't think that there's a public mood or having looked at it very carefully, a requirement to create a new post at that level in the civil service. So what we've done is created two new boards, the Civil Service Accountability Board, chaired by the Taoiseach, which will set up a new evaluation system, including for secretaries general for the first time, and they will be evaluated. And secondly, a civil service management board to crack another very big nut that we discovered needed to be addressed, and that is the lack of a unified civil service. A lot of tasks are done on a cross-departmental basis rather than in a departmental way. And we need to have a mechanism to ensure that people cede the authority or the personnel or the resources to do the job well, rather than operating in a silo, which often has had consequences that we've learned about in the past.
Reform of the civil service was, as I remember it, one of the things that you promised when you came into government back in 2011. Has it really taken you 3 years to come up with a plan?
Well, you've seen the two plans that we've produced to date and the reports on their implementation. There is pages of real change brought about from the operation of a single procurement system across the public service, the creation of shared services, including PeoplePoint, for a common payroll service across the civil service, a common pay and pension system. We're building a common learning and training system across the service. We have built an integrated senior civil service for the first time. So there is acres of real achievement to date. This is simply the next phase of what needs to be done.
Can I ask you your reaction to last week's High Court ruling that your department, that the state, the taxpayer essentially, is going to have to pay the cost of the recent case involving the Garda Representative Association? And the reason for that was because your department failed to disclose certain documents to the GRA until late in the day. This is going to cost tens, if not hundreds of thousands of euros in fees to senior counsel.
Well, what's at stake here is sick pay, which cost the state 450 million euros annually. And I was determined that we would make that saving. We've introduced very radical changes in the sick pay system.
No, but that's not the issue, Minister. You could have saved all that money and also saved the money on the senior council bill. Some of it could have gone to the GRA, but it didn't, because your department didn't send the documents in on time.
If you want to answer the question as well as ask them, but let me answer them, please. That's what was at stake here. And we passed legislation to do that. We had debates in Dáil and Shannon, and we had negotiations before the Labour Court. That decision was judicially reviewed by one trade union. They lost on every ground, but the judge in the case has awarded costs against us. Now, obviously, that is an unusual set of circumstances that I'm taking very serious legal advice on.
But the question was, Minister, the reason for the cost being heaped onto the taxpayer was because your department failed to disclose the documents to the GRA until late in the day. That's hardly, doesn't augur well for efficiency in the system, does it?
Well, I repeat what I've just said. The court case centred on a judicial review of processes that led up to saving very substantial money in sick pay. We won on, the department won on every count. So it's very unusual that we would lose on costs. And that's a matter that obviously will have to be considered carefully by our legal team. And I'm not in a position to make comment upon it. But I certainly wouldn't accept the contentions you've put. But that matter might be adjudicated before the court, so it would be inappropriate for me to comment further.
Minister, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon, Minister Brendan Howlin.